Lecture 2. History begins at Sumer.
Hello again, and welcome to the second in the series of 48 lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This lecture is entitled History Begins at Sumer. The lecture borrows its title from a quite well-known book by a scholar named Samuel Noah Kramer, who taught for many years at Johns Hopkins University. This was a little book in which he recorded a whole series of firsts in human recorded history, all of which he associated with the people of Sumer. What is Sumer? Sumer is a small region in the south of what is today Iraq. So that is where our story is going to start. And then slowly but surely, as we move through this lecture, we're going to go through the Mesopotamian world, that is to say, the land between the rivers Tigris and Euphrates. Now, civilization takes its rise in Mesopotamia shortly before 3000 BC, perhaps as early as 3500 BC, and we'll begin at about that point in Sumer, and we'll talk about some small city-states in that region, and then we'll notice that Sumer is conquered again and again by persons from the outside, by people generally from the north or perhaps from the east. And one of the interesting things that we'll observe in that process is that as Sumer is conquered, Sumerian culture conquers the conquerors and spreads with them and begins to form a somewhat more uniform civilization really throughout this larger Mesopotamian region and then westwards towards the Mediterranean Sea and eastwards towards the frontier of what we would think of today as Iran. So, Mesopotamia is all the land between the two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates, and we'll come to this, but we're going to start with Sumer, a little region in the south of what is now Iraq. Now, I mentioned in the first lecture on Western civilization and foundations that we could debate all day, you know, whether civilization began in Mesopotamia or began in Egypt. We'll turn to Egypt in our next lecture, and we'll see that civilization arises in these places more or less simultaneously. It's also the case, as a result of recent archaeological work, that some think that a place called Tel Hamukar in what is now northeastern Syria may actually go back just as far as Sumer itself. But at least at the present time, we know a lot less about Tel Hamukar. So we're going to focus on Sumer today and Mesopotamia a little more generally, and then Egypt in the next lecture. Now, the Uruk period. Now, in Sumer, there were a number of cities, Uruk, Eridu, Lagash, there was a whole series of them. A number of these cities have been excavated by archaeologists. And Uruk gives its name to the early period, from about 3800 to about 3200 BC. This was in many ways a remarkably creative place and time. Now, again, the development of the Uruk period was a bit leisurely, just as we saw that the Neolithic Revolution was a bit leisurely, took about 5,000 years to work itself out. At Uruk, we see, for example, the invention of the wheel and the plow, two very important ways of controlling nature, controlling the environment, developing agriculture, as we discussed in the last lecture. We see the first orchards planted, dates, figs, and olives. The first time people are actually planting orchards, trying to control crops for themselves, as opposed to simply picking and plucking whatever happened to be available. We find the development of metal casting, making weapons in the first place, but then also making jewelry and other objects. This is also a time when writing first emerges in Mesopotamia, writing of a very particular kind, cuneiform. Now that comes from the Latin cuneus, which means wedge. So cuneiform writing is wedge-shaped writing. A scribe would take a wedge-tipped stylus, doesn't have a point, has sort of a wedge on the end, and make various marks in wet clay. The clay would then be left in the sun to dry, or the clay might be put in an oven and baked. And eventually it formed a very permanent record. Gradually, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the lecture, literature begins to be produced, but early on what we have basically are government records, bureaucratic records, and a certain number of legal documents and a certain number of religious documents. But in any case, this formed a durable and memorable tribute to those people. Now, it's also interesting to say that this was not a particularly efficient information technology, as we might say today. You can only imagine carrying any reasonably large book around with each page, as it were, incised on stone tablets.